This is The Takeaway. I'm John Huckenberry. Thanks so much for listening. So, folks, which group are you in? There aren't just two groups, of course, but in the United States, there is a big divide over how Americans perceive some news stories. This isn't news to any of you. We'll talk about a few later this hour. But right here at the top of the hour, we're going to go for the big mother of all disagreements in the U.S. This is on you, okay? Did you see the pictures of the dead Palestinian boys on the beach in Gaza and react? This has to stop. That's it. Israel is over the line. Clearly, the Israelis don't want peace. I don't know. You fill in the blank. Or did you see the same pictures and think something like, okay, great, there's the spin machine once again, putting out just part of the story of the fighting in Gaza to slander Israel, to make the Palestinians seem like heroes and pretend that the people of Gaza are potential friends of Israel when clearly the people of Gaza don't want peace. All right, which are you? And of course, there aren't just two groups. There are a lot of nuances here. We'd love to hear from you. Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE. But we've decided to try and get close to hitting this head on. On the news side, of course, there is another report of a ceasefire between Israel and Gaza. Israeli officials have called the events in Gaza on the beach a mistake. They're investigating the incident, they say. Tensions are at a fever pitch between Israel and Gaza. We go to two voices now. As I said, not the only ones. In a moment, a conversation with Palestinian scholar, historian, and Columbia University professor Rashid Khalidi about the history and challenges of the Arab-Israeli conflict and Gaza. We begin first with CUNY professor Peter Beinart, a columnist at the Israeli newspaper Haaretz. He's a professor at CUNY and author of the book The Crisis of Zionism. He just recently returned from Israel. Peter, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
So how do you put this latest Gaza conflict in context? And, you know, where do you think this is headed right now?
Well, the important context is that although Israel withdrew settlers from Gaza in 2005, Israel still maintains a kind of military blockade on Gaza. Now, Israel does allow a lot of civilian goods into Gaza, but it does make it very difficult for people in Gaza to export goods or people in Gaza to leave. The other important context is that after Israel withdrew those settlers in 2005, the Gazans had an election in which Hamas won a plurality of the votes. And subsequent to that, there was a kind of intra-Palestinian civil war, which led Hamas to be in complete control of the Gaza Strip. And Hamas, unlike its rival Fatah, has never said explicitly that it accepts Israel's right to exist. So those are two very important contexts to understanding this conflict.
So, but Israel has withdrawn from Gaza. Is it Hamas that's making the situation difficult by firing rockets into Israel? Or is it Israel that is making the situation difficult by containing the people of Gaza, in your view?
I think the answer is both. Hamas's rockets aimed at Israeli civilians indiscriminately are a war crime. And even though, thank God, that not that many Israelis have died, they're still absolutely unacceptable. And it's not at all surprising that the Israeli government would feel that it had every obligation to respond and defend itself. But it's also, I think, the reality that Israel will not and cannot reoccupy Gaza and destroy Hamas, that there has to be a political response to the reality of Hamas, a group that whose ideology I personally find quite repellent, but which has a base of support among Palestinians for a complicated series of reasons, partly because they provide a whole series of social services that are not being provided by anybody else, partly because people support them because they are unhappy with the corruption and autocracy of Hamas's rivals. And so what bothers me as someone who cares very deeply about Israel is not that Israel responds militarily per se. I believe in Israel's rights to self-defense. What bothers me is that I think Benjamin Netanyahu's political response to Hamas has really lacked imagination in recent years, and that Israel does not have a political strategy for thinking about how it's going to deal with strengthening those Palestinians who do accept Israel's right to exist, and also recognizing that there has to be a democratic process among the Palestinians, even if Palestinians may sometimes vote for parties that Israel really doesn't like or that opposes the two-state solution.
All right. So what do Israelis believe is the solution to the Gaza problem? And there's not obviously one answer to that.
In terms of public opinion in Israel, what tends to happen during wartime on both sides is that people become very embittered and angry and afraid, and more radical voices tend to come to the fore. So I think there's a debate in Israel today between people who want to just destroy a lot of Hamas's weaponry and create some kind of deterrent and then hope that Israel gets a couple more years of quiet. And those who are more ambitious, and like Avigdor Lieberman, Israel's foreign minister, who really want to go in on the ground and try to destroy Hamas. Both of these responses seem to me really inadequate and dangerous. So to me, this is the critical political context that worries me so much. It's not that for a minute that I think Hamas is a benign actor, nor that I think Israel should sit back and allow its people to be shelled with rockets. I was in those shelters myself with my six-year-old daughter last week. It's not pleasant. But war is politics by other means. And if you have a military strategy, but you have no effective political strategy, and you have no strategy that responds to the reality that you cannot hold millions and millions of Palestinians forever without the basic rights that we would take for granted, then I think it's a recipe for getting back in these terrible situations again and again.
Peter Beinart is author of The Crisis of Zionism, professor of journalism and political science at the City University of New York, and a columnist for the Israeli newspaper Haaretz. Peter, thanks so much.
Thank you.
And now a different view from Palestinian scholar and historian Rashid Khalidi, who spoke with us passionately yesterday before the deaths of the boys on the Gaza beach broke. He told us about why he believes the situation in Gaza can't and won't change while the U.S. and Israel hold to their current political positions. The refugee crisis, Khalidi told us, goes back more than 60 years.
Gaza is the largest single concentration of Palestinian refugees who were driven from their homes in 1948. All of the ones who were driven from the southern part of Palestine, or most of them, ended up in the Gaza Strip. And then there have been further periods when people were driven from their homes in various attacks on Gaza, 2008, 2009, 2012. Israel has what amounts to a free fire zone, such that people often are unable to cultivate their land, move safely without being shot at by Israeli soldiers on that perimeter. Fishermen from Gaza are prevented from going beyond a certain number of kilometers out from the coast, and their boats are systematically fired at. Fishermen are detained, wounded, killed. You know, one of the things that's important to understand is these are refugees from 1948 whose homes were in the towns that are now within range of rocket fire from Gaza. And that's, you know, one of the deep problems that people don't want to think about, that this population in Gaza are entirely formerly residents of the southern areas of what is today Israel.
Now, Israelis, of course, will say that the reason this has gone on for so long is because the people of Hamas want Israel to cease to exist, that in fact these people were left because of a war going on in 1948. Why can't this be resolved? Why is this still going on right now? And what do you think is the pathway in terms of Gaza, Egypt, and Israel regarding the wider chaos in the region with ISIS and Iraq and Syria that's going on right now? Or is this a completely separate situation?
Well, it's not entirely separate. It has its own specificity. The specificity is that there is a determination on the part of the Israeli government. Likud has been in power on and off since 1977, and Netanyahu is the latest of a succession of prime ministers who basically espoused a greater land of Israel vision. And Netanyahu said it the other day explicitly, I'm not going to allow Palestinian sovereignty. I'm not going to allow Palestinian security control ever anywhere between the river and the sea. Israel will continue to be the only sovereign power with all security authority, all control over everything. So there is no more Palestinian state in Netanyahu's vision. That's really what Likud has always wanted. It's never accepted that the Palestinian people have a national right in their own homeland. That's the core of the problem. That's what happened what happened in 48 happened, and that's what has been happening since 67, an inexorable process of colonization, settlement, stealing people's land, such that you now have a situation where the Palestinians are in Gaza most clearly cooped up in a little prison. But you should go around the West Bank and look at how settlements and other forms of control have taken over more than 60% of the West Bank. The same kind of process of control, containment, cantonization of the Palestinians, such that Israelis are the lords of the land. They go as they please, where they please, and Palestinians are restricted to tinier and tinier segments of what was formerly their homeland. That's the basic problem. I mean, rockets or bombing or whatever. Yes, we have today almost 200 Palestinians dead and one Israeli dead. Yes, we have 1,200 Palestinians wounded and 15 or 16 Israelis wounded. But that's just part of a much larger issue. Will this lead to radicalization? Yes, if there is no movement on this issue. If people like the current Palestinian leaderships, bad though they may be, whether Hamas or Fatah, are not treated as if they're the leaders of a people, and if Israel doesn't, and the world community doesn't try and decisively act to change the status quo, which is one of complete Israeli dominance, we're going to see further radicalization. It's not something I would welcome. The kind of people who are ruling the desert between Syria and Iraq are very, very nasty folks, and their vision is one that would horrify you if you knew more about it. We heard a little bit about it, but I promise you, much worse could come if this kind of nihilistic approach on the part of Netanyahu, his government, and the dominant trend in Israeli politics that he and his predecessors have represented since 1977 is allowed to continue to get its way. And our government simply does nothing to call a spade a spade. There is no two-state solution because the Israeli government doesn't want one. Say it. And do something about that government's absolute refusal to treat the Palestinians as an equal people with absolute rights, just like Israelis have.
Rashid Khalidi is the Edward Said Professor at Columbia University, editor of the Journal of Palestine Studies, and author, most recently, of Brokers of Deceit. Thanks so much.
Thank you, John.
My name is Mr. Taylor Moser. I'm calling from Alabama. I feel that Israel Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is doing absolutely what is necessary. He has tried to make peace. I believe Israel should go ahead, bring their enemies to their knees, and then they will truly surrender and hand over their weapons.
I think the reason things got so bad between Palestine and Israel is because of the illegal settlements on the West Bank. And I think the only solution to be seen would be to have the Palestinians have their own homeland, and Israel will never let that happen.
Lots of passion here. Of course, we expected that. That's Richard from Rockland County, New York. Mountain View, California is a second-generation American Jew whose family was slaughtered in World War II. I do see the need for a secure Jewish state, but I wish we could find common ground with Palestine and Hamas and find peace. Here's Jody from Charlotte, North Carolina.
As an American Jew, the conflict between Israel and the Palestinians upsets me very much. The hatred is ingrained into everyone as a culture. Israel is just defending itself. Can't the Palestinians be settled somewhere else? They legally have no claim to Israeli land.
Israel is a bully. I'm a Jew, and I'm being misrepresented by the people in Jewish power. The president is dead wrong on his Israeli policy, and what Israel is doing is creating world anti-Semitism and making it very dangerous for every Jew all over the world. This is just terrorism. Israel is Goliath. The Palestinians are David.
Voice there from the New York City area, Beaverton, Oregon. It's a centuries-old conflict around religion. They haven't figured out that no God wants people killing each other until both sides realize that life and human value are more important than interpreted ideologies. The conflict will continue. Reach out to us at 877-8-MY-TAKE. Find us at thetakeaway.org to share your thoughts. Coming up, we continue our look at the refugee crisis at the U.S. border. Stay with us.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.